My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is genuinely one of my very favorite places online to buy indie TTRPGs. They have a fantastic selection from some of my favorite designers and excellent customer service. And as part of their sponsorship of this season of Perils and Princesses, they are generously offering one of the biggest discounts they have ever offered, 15% off Perils and Princesses, the adventure module Sweet Revenge, or any other game in their store if you use our exclusive promo code PERIL15. That's PERIL15 to get 15% off. But not only are you going to get 15% off, you'll be letting the fine folks at Tabletop Bookshelf know that we were the ones who sent you there. And this is incredibly important. It lets Tabletop Bookshelf know that their investment in us and in actual play is a worthwhile one. It helps them grow their business and also helps us approach more sponsors in the future so we can continue making My First Dungeon better each and every season. So go to tabletopbookshelf.com, use code PERIL15, and get 15% off your next favorite game. And with that, enjoy the show. As the smoke begins to settle on this tower coming down all around you, Adelaide, Geraldine, Matt all look back and see two dragons in the sky, Dulcinea and Winnie. And as they begin to spiral around each other, you all look towards the back of Winnie and you do not see Amira. Amira, as you see everything crumbling around you, you find yourself buried underneath stuff. You're not crushed, but you are like surrounded by things, and you are very much stuck and like bordering on the edge of consciousness. What is it that passes through Amira's mind in this moment?
As I'm like getting crushed by this thing.
Everything settles around you and you find yourself like buried underneath things. You feel something is pressing on one of your legs, on one of your arms. You're in a lot of pain. One of your shoulders is clearly dislocated, but everything is settled for the moment around you. And you find yourself breathing in the dust and ash of this building that is coming down around you. And you have a moment still in consciousness where something passes through your mind. What is that thought that comes in before it fades to black?
Amir is like, if I just didn't touch the damn thing, I could have saved Matt and my sisters would have been fine.
Oh no.
I beefed it.
You didn't, Amira.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but
you probably did.
I gotta get out of here.
But it was brave. So brave.
Just like a little slider, not a full burger. It's fine.
Just a little one.
Like a kid's meal.
Yeah.
Like a kid's meal.
So I am going to just remind everybody of how some rules work around being wounded, being unconscious.
Okay.
When you are wounded, your friends can use an action to test their wits to attempt first aid. Successful first aid restores you to 1 HP.
Okay.
If they have a healing kit or healing talent, they can use it to stabilize you without needing to roll at all. I believe only Amira has those things. Special abilities and healing items are also an option. I believe only Amira has those things.
And we can't, like, take them out of her bag or her pockets.
You could certainly take a healing potion out of her pocket and use it.
Okay.
The thing that you will need to do is get to her first.
Okay. Okay. Easy peasy.
for this game, just so everyone knows, there is not like death save things that are happening to get us closer to the end.
Okay.
That only happens with additional traumas. However, because Amira is unconscious, if she takes additional massive damage, if she gets crossed in the crossfire, that could happen very quickly.
Okay.
Just to level set everyone's expectations here.
Okay.
Okay.
Last rule is clarity. Amira can't use gift die right now with the trauma.
Will not be able to use gift die for 24 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Then I'm glad you rolled all four last time.
I am too, baby. Yeah.
This is good to know.
Because that'll knock out her abilities. Okay. But she's not dead.
Not dead.
And okay. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
But it's very much underneath the tower. I think all of you recognize that Adelaide, Geraldine, there is maybe a world where you can get in here and like maybe you can wiggle through and find her. I think truly you recognize Winnie. You're the only one that has the power here to truly excavate her. And that might not be a super quick task.
Okay.
I just throwing it out there. Could Brownie?
Brownie's so strong.
Dogs go into demolition sites all the time and rescue people. And Brownie definitely has scent.
That's a true story.
Mm. Brownie is definitely not big enough to pull Amira out. Brownie could potentially get in there and find her.
Okay. Okay, great. Great, great, great. Great, great, great. Okay.
That's better than... Okay.
Okay.
We're at the top of the order.
That's me.
That's Adelaide. Okay.
As terrible as things are happening around here, there's still a mint chocolate guard barreling after Adelaide and Matt, and there's still a dragon in the sky. And I want to make it very clear to you guys, you have not yet hit this dragon.
Oh my God, I forgot.
Okay. We haven't done a lick of damage to this damn thing yet. No.
Adelaide, it's your turn. What do you want to do?
Okay, well, so now that I'm on Matt, that means I am in charge of Matt, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you're in charge of Matt. I'm going to say your movement is pretty unrestricted at this point.
So I'm going to go ahead and make the judgment call that there's no fucking way that Matt's letting us go anywhere while Amira is underneath a fucking tower. So Matt like immediately turns around and starts like juking to get away from like the mint chocolate knight as he is doing that, or the mint chocolate guard, as he's doing that. Not quite on my turn, but Adelaide's just like, hey, so sorry, I totally wanted to play with you, but we have a whole sister underneath the tower thing, but remember how fun it was to dance? You could just do that instead of chasing me. Like, as we're going, I don't know if he's even catching anything. It's like, you could change your life. It doesn't have to be this. And Matt is just, like, sprinting towards Amira.
With your speed, you're able to easily outrun this mint chocolate guard. It spins around and starts chasing back towards you, but you have a clear distance away from this thing. As it's running, it was like, it was fun to dance. I still have to fight you, though.
Oh. Okay, I'm going to turn around. Since I'm already side saddle, it's actually pretty easy for me to kind of turn, twist my body. I'm going to take, I still have all of my magic stuff from the last session. So I'm once again going to take my slingshot and those fake matches, and I'm going to slingshot it at, I'm going to light the matches on fire and then use the slingshot and try to hit the mint chocolate guard.
Hell yeah. Go ahead and roll an attack. You'll be testing Grace.
Come on, baby.
Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. My grace is not bad. My grace is not bad. I'm very graceful. I'm a graceful human. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Come on, baby. Come on.
7.
Let's go.
Huge, huge. Go ahead and roll damage. You're going to be rolling D4 for a sling.
4.
Hell yeah.
Good, baby. I forget the move that we did with fire. We added something to it. I think let's go ahead and say let's add an additional D4 because you set this thing on fire.
3.
Woohoo.
Hell yes.
Ooh.
These mint chocolate constructs are made, as you might expect, of chocolate. Heat and water-based attacks ignore their armor.
Let's
that is
go.
7 points of damage straight through this thing. It is extremely hurt. It is not down, but like bits of it are melted off. You see like the arm that is not wielding the halberd has like fallen off, and he goes, oh bother. Begins to run
oh
towards
bother
you.
I tried to give you a life in the theater.
I can still do it.
That's true.
We're malleable. We can put ourselves back together later.
It's kind of sexy, actually.
Thank you. Finally.
I mean, listen, that was kind of hot.
When he's like, I get it now.
I understand now. Clarity.
Winnie, you are at the base of this crumbled tower. The dust is still scattering around you. You see that this thing is relatively unstable. Matt is going to begin to use all of his efforts to just move boulders out of the way.
Good.
And we've got Brownie in there kind of sniffing to find exactly where we need to go, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say with Brownie and Matt, like Matt is moving boulders out of the way. This will arguably like not help in terms of like time, in terms of this battle, but he's doing it anyway. He doesn't care. Yeah. Brownie is beginning to burrow in as best he can.
Good boy. Good boy.
You just hear in your head, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. Don't worry. It's tight. Okay. I'm coming.
He's the best boy.
I can sniff you.
He's so brave.
He's the best boy. I make dragon heart hands in the sky.
Brownie's burrowing in. This, with Brownie's help and with Matt's help, this is going to give advantage on anyone who is trying to excavate for Amira.
Okay.
Winnie, it is your turn.
I have lost Amira. Or Amira has lost me. I don't know, with debris coming down, the tower collapsing, exactly where I lost sight of her or lost touch with her. But I just know that she's not there. But I know that she has family on the ground. And I can hear Brownie in my head going towards her. So I know that she's alive. Which means I need to hyper-focus on this witch. Brian, I understand I have three attacks, a bite and two claws.
Mm-hmm.
What would you have me roll for a charge? Because there is a racing river directly outside of this tower, and we are both susceptible to water. I am willing to nosedive into this dragon and drench us both, even if it causes me to lose my form from the melt-off.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Damn.
So I think what I will do here, you will have to make a resolve test.
Okay.
To try to essentially like grapple Dulcinea and bring her into the water.
Okay.
I'm going to say when she's in the water, you will both be susceptible and you can essentially make your attacks in an environment that is bad for her.
Okay. Would it be bad for both of us?
It'll be bad for both of you. I'm going to have to have you commit to it. You want to do this, these attacks would go against her armor and would be hugely effective. You would obviously be vulnerable too, but at this point, you are a very beefy fucking dragon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make this resolve test, that is your turn. If you succeed, you're going to bring her into the water and you get to do your attacks. If you fail this resolve test, that is all you get to do this
turn. That's
it? You're essentially wrestling in the air and you won't be able to attack.
So guys, mechanically, what I'm looking at just as table awareness, I can attack three times, which is a D12, D8, D8. But she has three armor. That's not going to help us too much with me doing physical. I could try to breath her. If she succeeds, she eats 10. If she fails, she eats 20.
But all of us get it too. Although
I'm up in the air with her now, so I could target just her.
Yeah, you guys are fine now. You guys are out of the enclosed space.
I could center breath her. For 10 or 20 guaranteed, which is going to be much better than physical attacks, or I can just go fuck it and try to dake her into the water.
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Hit her with your Breath of the Wild heart. High five.
The Breath of the Wild heart!
High five!
All right.
Nice. Man, Breath of the Wild heart is a pretty good episode title.
Jesus. Breath of the Wild heart.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to launch onto her. I'm going to dive into her, launch onto her. And just like those birds that we summoned earlier were like swarming, I'm going to try to do the same thing with her, tearing at her ears, at her face, at her wings, anything I can to get us to drop into that raging river simultaneously.
Hell yeah. You lock on and begin to pull her down into a dive.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make that resolve test.
All right, guys, I'm rolling under a 14.
Okay.
I hit a 10.
Woo!
I was about to say, we're going to have to throw a lot of heart dice at this. Jesus. So I hit a 10.
You don't hear a splash. You hear a tidal wave.
Ooh.
Winnie, you find yourself as you are locked in with Dulcinea.
What are you doing? Stop it!
You both covered in this sticky molasses and water. You feel your armor beginning to disintegrate, like your scales, you feel like they are growing weak, but you see Dulcinea is in the very same state. Go ahead and make your attacks.
Okay, guys, these are all grace.
These will all be resolve.
All resolve, guys, rolling under 14, mm-hmm. We'll send thoughts and prayers. First one is an 8.
Excellent. Okay.
Second one is a 4.
Yeah,
third one is a 11.
Goddamn right it was.
Woo. Okay, so you are rolling a bite and two claws. That is a D12, a D8, and a D8.
Winnie's thriving in this form.
This is going to be a 8 on the D12,
A 6 on the D8 and a 6 on a D8.
Let's go.
8, 6, 6. That is 20 points of damage. Every single bit of it is bypassing her armor.
Holy shit.
Woo!
I cannot stress to you enough how much damage that is.
Okay.
You see the armor of this dragon beginning to get torn asunder as you guys are battling and grappling inside of the river. Dulcinea is rearing back and forth.
Stop it! Stop it!
And then you see her eyes start to narrow on you, and you recognize that this is a witch understanding a weakness. And she goes,
"This hurts me. This hurts you."
Does she go with her breath weapon, or does she go with her attacks?
Fuck, fuck, fuck. I should have held on to you. Fuck.
She is smart. She knows that you are graceful and can move. She's going to go for the absolute damage. She beats her wings back, pulls up into the air, and is going to unleash a breath of cinnamon hot fire directly down onto Winnie. Winnie, I'm going to need you to test grace.
Shit, I hit a 12 under. I matched it.
Meets it, beats it.
Meets it, beats it.
Oh, just not enough. Jesus. God.
Meets it, beats it.
I'm still going to take 10 straight to the face, guys. This
That's
is still
okay.
Bad.
You're so beefy right now.
It's okay. Well, that's okay.
Winnie, you see this breath in the back of her neck begin to glow and brighten, and then a heat the likes of which you have never felt. As you feel it coming, you begin to dive under the water, but just a little bit too late. I will remind you, this is a fire attack. It penetrates through your armor.
Straight to the face.
So you're taking the full 10 points 10. Of damage here.
Ooh.
I will say that absolutely hurts, but I think, Winnie, you are very aware that that is one more thing that she cannot do to your sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, mechanically, just to be very fair, you recognize that Dulcinea is a witch in this form, has some additional tricks up her sleeve. You recognize there is still something glowing in the back of her throat.
Oh, good for her. She can now. Good for her.
Good for her.
I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her, Dip Ryan.
Good for you.
No, good for you. Good for you. No, I love this for us.
Dulcinea is a catch.
Right. Yeah.
Dulcinea is going to take to the skies and is going to begin to fly back over towards Adelaide, Geraldine, and Celine, keeping very clear to stay high in the air.
Okay.
Just so everyone's aware, because she is not actively in the water, her armor is beginning to reconstitute. That armor attack will not go through unless you get her back in water or get her back involved with fire. She is looking extremely hurt, though. There are tatters out of her wings. She is bleeding a cinnamon dark chocolate syrup. She is looking particularly rough, but that does not mean she is out of this fight.
Oh, guys.
Dulcinea takes to the skies and is immediately, let me think.
Yeah, she just hit me with fire and then flew back towards the castle with the siblings.
She is fucking hurt.
Yeah.
As Dulcinea takes to the sky, you guys see she is incredibly damaged. You see holes in her leathery wings. You see scales are beginning to fleck off, and she is still covered in this sicky, sticky, sweet sap water of this bog, of this river. And you see she begins to, like, as she's flying, begins to look down at herself and recognize that she is weak. If she is able to, like, dry off this water, these attacks won't have as big of an effect, but she is soaked to the bone. She begins to fly. Winnie, from where you're sitting, you immediately know where she's flying. She's flying over to your sisters, to Adelaide, to Geraldine, to Celine, to Amira, and then you realize just how wrong you were. Dulcinea begins to beat her wings past the tower, flying north towards Deer Hollow.
Oh, God.
Oh, fuck.
Ah, fuck.
No! Oh, God.
Shit.
Dulcinea begins to... She is more than a stone's throw away at this point. It is immediately clear to everyone that another dragon is the only way to chase her if you want to chase her. Like, even a horse will not be able to keep up with her.
Holy shit.
Winnie, you feel the tension in your shoulders and the muscles in your wings. You recognize that getting to Deer Hollow from here, even though it would take you 2 days by foot and like a day and a half by horseback, would take about an hour for a dragon.
Okay. I still hate it.
Still mad.
Still mad. Yeah.
There is still one other combatant on the field, and that is the mint chocolate construct.
God damn it.
Who is running up and is going to attack Geraldine.
Yeah, come at me.
Go ahead and roll grace to...
I hate it.
...to move.
That's shocking. I succeeded. My grace is terrible.
Yeah. Because we don't have time for this right now, mint chocolate construct.
This mint chocolate construct has like a leg and a half and one arm. Very easy to move past this halberd. He goes, I'll get you next time.
Doubt it.
You guys see Dulcinea flying off to the northeast back towards Deer Hollow. Geraldine, it is your turn. We're still very much in combat, but you guys can all take a moment to choose. Are you immediately chasing after? Are you regrouping? What are you doing in this moment? And I'll just remind you of some stuff that's happening here. Winnie, you have 40 minutes in this form.
Yeah.
Which means you will certainly be able to chase her. If it is a chase all the way to Deer Hollow, you would not make it back all the way.
Right.
But we get a lot closer.
You get a lot closer. Mm-hmm. Potentially, you could try to go into that form again in some way, but that's going to be a limiting factor here. Amira still buried underneath this tower. Yeah. Brownie and Matt are scurrying and moving things out of the way. What does this group want to do?
I feel like we got to get to Deer Hollow as fast as we can.
So we have a couple options. We got those boots.
We've got the boots.
The boots will teleport us back home if we know for a fact that's where she's going. So okay. We can beat her home and we can be waiting on her.
Okay.
Also, do we think she can survive a breath attack? Based on how tattered up we are right now, do I think she can survive 10 points of damage? Or do you think a breath attack will kill her, Brian?
I don't know.
She is looking particularly hurt. You think a breath attack could potentially finish her off? I think you'll also know that if she chooses to take any kind of rest, she's also going to be able to slightly heal herself in the same way that you guys would with like heart dice.
Okay.
So even I think if she gets like max on all of her heart dice, the answer could still be yes.
Okay.
But just letting you know, she is looking very bad right now. The longer that you guys potentially wait to catch up to her, that could get slightly less bad.
Okay.
So just throwing spaghetti at the wall. We could teleport home. I could breath weapon.
I also have my level 4. It would blow all of my gift dice. But it would get us there.
You have that wish, right?
If it works, I have my I want song.
Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, first things first, I feel like we got to dig Amira out.
I could make that part of my I wish song. If I just say if I wish for all of us to be teleported over to Deer Hollow.
Yeah.
That includes Amira.
That could work. Well, I guess I'm not the one to say that.
Amira just unconscious underneath you guys kind of here. Yeah, that could work.
That could work. Adelaide could do that wish. Is there any additional damage you could do to the dragon in that I wish song too?
Let's see. I'll just read it over once in your life. Blah, 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 blah. Deepest desire, fairy godmother will grant it. Could be something intangible with the GM's approval. I mean, I can push it because I'm me, and I guess we'll just have to see what is allowed.
Yeah. Could you do I wish for a monsoon where it just rains nonstop and she just has to sit there and eat rain?
Can we wish for rain?
Yeah.
I can wish for whatever I want.
Yeah.
This is a good idea. And I think in terms of like how we deal with Dulcinea, I know we haven't like really like killed anyone in this series so far. And I know, I don't know, like, I guess I asked you a question for Bridget, because I know your character is quite like, how can we avoid violence? If there's a way we could use the unicorn potion to like reduce the evil that's corrupting Dulcinea in a way where we can like maybe control her. I'm happy to explore that option if this is like, I guess, above the table talk, but like if that's of interest to you and your character, Bridget, because I know
Who has that? Geraldine has that right now, right?
I gave it.
Oh, that's right.
To Amira,
yeah.
During our like sort of downtime.
Chinook, reverse question for you. Do we think Dulcinea is affected by an evil curse, or she's just an evil bitch?
I think
I think she might just be bad to the bone.
She might be bad to the bone.
Being an evil bitch is its own curse.
Right, but that could be its own curse in of itself. Corrupted by your own blind desire for this one thing. Couldn't be, I mean, Brian would have to, I guess, say so or not, but could, if you wanted to explore it.
I mean, I love everything that's touched the table right now. There's not an option that we haven't pitched that doesn't sound fun to explore. I do kind of want to see that wish ability, guys. Secretly?
Yeah, the wish ability should happen
regardless.
Adelaide,
if you're cool with using it,
I really want to see this wish, guys.
That feels very cool.
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. So, Adelaide, seeing that our good friends, and some people we don't really give a fuck about, in Deer Hollow are about to be maybe cinnamon challenged to death.
I wish I'd flavored this as just cinnamon and not any fire.
Oh my
just
God.
Cinnamon bread.
That's very, very good.
So like gets off of Matt, kind of clears her throat. The I Want song, I think I explained it in an episode, but it's mm-hmm. the part in a musical, particularly Disney musicals, where like the heroine gets to like say like their biggest wish, like, you know, Belle sang part of your world, stuff such as that. So she's going to kind of look up and her eyes like just get really big and like even bigger. We're already princesses, so her eyes get really bigger. And she's like looking up through her lashes. And everything kind of sardonic or sarcastic that's ever been on her face just kind of goes away as she looks hopeful and amazing. And she starts singing. I want to kick a dragon's ass. To do that, I got to teleport. Me and my sisters and a horse and a dog and my sister that's under a tower. And maybe this knight, if he wants to help and not be a dick, but we'll wait later. And all of us head to Deer Hollow. We head to Deer Hollow before the dragon. Then we get there and kick the dragon's ass. Totally kick the dragon's ass, even save that dumb kid. But we get to Deer Hollow before the dragon. And like a little tear just like slides down her cheek.
Yes.
As this I Want song rings out into the air, you hear a crack of thunder. And then that crack of thunder all of a sudden settles into the air, and you realize this wasn't a crack of thunder at all, but rather a cascade of a barrel coming down the hill. As the fairy godmother flies past you and then spins around on the barrel and comes back up. There's a big drag on her cigar. How's it going, Toots? I heard you got an I Want song for me.
I do. I want it so bad. Look, you kind of, you know what's going on here. I know you're not so deep into, casket or whatever your voting thing is.
You see her turn around real quick and look at Winnie and goes, oh my God, a dragon.
Yeah. So, long story short, dragon under a house, evil witch Dulcinea on her way to Deer Hollow, also a dragon. We need to beat her to Deer Hollow so we can kick the shit out of her. Because I want it so bad.
So bad.
So bad.
So bad.
Honey, that ain't a problem for me. Big hit on the cigar. You see the cigar just ashes by half, and then she just shakes it and like a little bit of magic puffs, and it goes back to being full.
Yes!
Speaking of I Want.
Oh, I'll get you one of these later. All right, who am I taking? I got Adelaide, I got Geraldine, I got Mint Chocolate Knight is running towards her. She just face palms him and goes, hang on, buddy.
Noink! Noink!
You see Mint Chocolate Knight just goes, sorry, I just wanted to check the password. Marvelous marzipan, hang on.
Flo, yeah.
Where's Amira?
She's under the rebels.
Well, what'd she go and do that for?
That's what we thought.
Snaps her fingers, and you begin to see all of these stones move about.
Ooh.
However, before this resolves, Adelaide, I do need you to roll all four of your gift dice to see if there are any mishaps that happen.
I don't think there will be. That doesn't seem narratively correct.
Okay.
You're just looking for any doubles.
So that's a two.
Okay.
A one.
Okay.
A three.
Okay.
And a five, baby!
Let's go!
Woo!
Huge.
That's huge. Good. That's good stuff.
Good job, baby.
Bra,
good job.
Bra.
So that five goes away. That is expended.
Bye.
She snaps her fingers and these stones begin to move. And as they do, surrounded in a magical purple barrel, you see, just like the cask that she has been rolling on this entire time, a barrel comes up and levitates over towards you guys. And she goes, let's get her out of there. Sets the cigar onto the barrel. The barrel evaporates in a puff of smoke. And Amira lands on her feet with one hit point.
Let's go.
Yes.
Oof.
Welcome back, Amira.
That sucked.
I can only imagine.
Amira, you immediately, you turn around and get smashed in the back by Matt, who essentially like runs you over. I'm tempted. Yeah, Matt runs you over. You immediately drop back down to zero. Fairy Godmother goes, God dang it. Pops you back up again.
Jesus Christ, Matt.
Thanks. Thanks, Fairy Godmother.
Keep it together.
Okay, I love you. I missed you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Everybody, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay, Amira. It's okay.
You see Matt turns to Amira and starts speaking. And in this moment, Amira, you understand Matt.
Oh.
Aww.
I was so worried, honey. Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm okay, Matt.
Okay. Listen.
Don't worry.
I know you wanted to give me agency and ride a dragon and stuff, but I swear to God, if you get off of my back again, I will run you over myself.
Hot.
We are riding into this battle together, whether you like it or not.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
I get it. I would have ridden a dragon too if I had the chance. I don't fault you for that. That's a once in a lifetime.
It sounded really cool. I wanted to try it.
It was going to be awesome.
Clearly not for me. Not for me at all.
Just horses for you.
Horse girl at heart.
Yep. I'm just a simple horse girl, and that's the way I want it to be.
The fairy godmother looks over to Adelaide, prepares to snap her fingers, and goes,
all right, I got you. I got Amira. I got Geraldine. I got Winnie. I got this dog.
The white chocolate raven flops over. You want this guy?
Yeah.
White chocolate raven starts to fly away. No, I'm not fighting.
We're for sure taking that guy. Celine. I didn't hear Celine's name.
Celine, sorry.
We got Celine back.
Part of the princess.
Oh, my God. Celine. Oh, yeah, I heard you were dead. Celine looks and goes, I wasn't dead. I was trapped.
That's why. See, I knew she wasn't dead. I could still feel. I would have known if one of you died. I would have known.
Oh, that's a good skill to have.
I feel tactically unsound because that came up in episode 1 and 2.
It did.
And we were all just like, she could be alive. We're like, no, don't tell people that. That's false hope. Damn it, I missed that thing.
See, she was alive.
Amira was right.
I didn't want to give anybody hope, but like, it was totally possible.
I haven't known that. Valid. All right, anybody else? Half the construct too? Are we bringing that one half of the dude? Or both of the half?
Don't know that they're going to be any help to us.
Yeah, only if he's going to be chill about it. Are you going to be? Adelaide just looks and goes, "You going to be chill about it, or are you going to be all fighty?"
Hey, listen, sorry about that. I'm just kind of. I know this is cliche to say. I'm doing my job, but really in this case, I'm kind of magically compelled to do it, and so I don't really want to do it, and I apologize. Luckily, the witch has kind of gone out of the radius of effect spell, so I'm actually. If you don't mind, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to help my buddy. We're going to kind of get him reconstituted. And then, you know, we might start up a little theater or something. So, you know, you guys do what you want. Come back here. We're going to actually rebuild this place. So if you're able to kill the witch, we're going to make this into kind of a theater of some kind.
That works.
I love that.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Good for them.
And Miss Adelaide, we would love to have you on opening night. So, you know, you come on back. We'll get you to do a little song and dance number. It'll be great. We'll do a whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see what's in my calendar.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you. All right. So I got to go. I got to go help my buddy because he's been bisected. We got to put him back together.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Except not really. All right. Shall we, girls?
Yeah. Let's go.
The fairy godmother holds up her fingers, takes a big hit of her cigar and goes, listen, girls, I just want you to know. I know I'm not always here, but I'm always watching. Even when I'm not watching, I'm always thinking about you.
We know, Phil.
And I want you to know, I'm really proud of you.
Oh.
You stick together. There ain't nothing you can't do.
Got it. You're sure right.
And do me a favor. Break this curse thing, because this place is Dollsville ever since that came about.
Yep.
We're working on it.
We're trying.
We're close.
We're doing our best.
See you at Spagoosh's when we're done.
You're goddamn right you will.
Hey!
She ashes the entire cigar with one pull. The cigar explodes, and you find yourselves in the center of Deer Hollow just a second later.
Do we see anything in the sky?
All around you, people begin to scream, oh my god, a dragon! Everybody run!
Oh, wait.
We're looking around, it's like, oh, right, we're talking about Winnie.
This one's Winnie, but you should sound ours. The dragon alarm. Don't, actually, you know what, just don't stab them. They gotta sound the alarm anyway.
There's one coming that like looks like she's dead behind the eyes, so save all that for her.
Yeah.
Oh my god, they're gonna see Celine for the first time.
You hear from behind you a pitter-patter. Let me at him! And Rory the Brave, with a wooden sword, begins to smack at Winnie's dragon feet.
I'm going to kick this kid.
I was going to say, like, don't eat the kid, Bridget. Don't eat the kid.
And I'm going to slay the dragon just like I slayed Dulcinea the witch.
Rory, get out of here.
Yeah, can I grab him by, like, the scruff of his neck?
Right, just nyeh.
You pull him up and he's, like, running like his feet. Let me at him! You spin him around and he locks eyes with Celine.
Oh.
Immediately, he kind of goes limp. Celine looks at him and goes, hey, kid. And she goes up, like, gives him a kind of like a fist to the chin type thing, like a, hey, buddy. Mm. You were really brave right there, attacking that dragon.
No, don't validate him.
See, this is why he's like this. This is why he's like this, because she enables it.
Be enabling these damn kids.
Celine, you're just too kind for your own good.
Celine has blocked all this out and goes, listen, kid, you're going to be the next hero of Deer Hollow.
I'll train you
myself, but listen, you also got to know, this dragon is a buddy. This is Winnie, and if you're not careful, she might eat you.
Might do it anyways.
Rory kind of goes, all right, sorry, dragon, I thought you were a bad dragon.
Yeah, well, that's the assumptions people make about animals. It's honestly a tragedy, honey.
It's just a problem.
Get him, Winnie.
The dragon rolls her eyes. I roll my eyes in irritation. I start sniffing at the sky, see if I can get a bead on how close Cinnamon is on the winds.
Amira looks at Adelaide and Geraldine, takes out the talisman, and goes, I don't think I should be riding Winnie. Do one of you want to ride Winnie so she can have the extra talisman, talisman?
Ooh.
I will just remind you, Winnie only had 40 minutes in dragon form.
Shit.
So that dragon form will disintegrate before Dulcinea arrives, unless, Winnie, you're able to do anything else extra with your gift dice.
I can be real irritating and just do this same ability one more time. I have one gift die left, and it's just die times 10 minutes.
There you go.
I could just re-up on it.
A quick 10 minute.
I can wait until this expires and just re-up into it.
Oh, and just wait right till... Oh, okay, yeah. You can absolutely do
or,
that.
Or I can meet her there. It's Adelaide's wish, so it's kind of however you guys work it out.
I'll say that's perfectly fine.
We're already there, so yeah.
Yeah.
You are going to, I'm going to say Amira's hit points will stay, but you're going to have to re-roll your hit die for this. So since you only have one dice, go ahead and roll that die to see how many hit points you're going to have in this dragon form.
Five.
Five. Okay, so five plus the hit points that Amira rolled, which I believe were...
15.
15. Okay, so you're at 20 hit points for this dragon when you recast it.
Okay.
All around you, a bunch of villagers are coming out of this place. Everyone is looking much worse for the wear. It's been a number of days since you saw them. Some people are deep in the realms of cantification. Things are looking dire here. And I think you guys recognize that there are but a day or two left before this town would fully be to Candy. Even Rory is looking very, very gingerbread-like. Oh, barely able to hold a sword because his hands cannot curl around it. You kind of quickly disseminate with Celine there. The town all like gasps and reacts. They immediately see the dragon of Winnie and are terrified and are bringing out like weapons and
no!
things. Celine, like, you guys have a bit of time. Celine quickly disperses this, and the town, though amazed at her presence, immediately hears the thing that she is saying, that Dulcinea has become a dragon and that Dulcinea is on her way to Deer Hollow.
And we don't know whose fault it was that made her a dragon. We're trying to find the guy who did this.
Yep, we sure don't.
Amira, off in the background, you see Tony Spagoosh go.
Tony knows. Tony always knows.
Spagoosh, shut your mouth.
Hey, whoa, what are you doing?
We're coming for you later, Spagoosh.
The town very quickly takes in Celine's words, and their amazement at her being alive is tempered immediately by the fact that Dulcinea has returned, that Dulcinea is a dragon, and that Dulcinea is coming here. The villagers will take a moment to celebrate if they are able to survive. Instead, they begin to take up arms. Celine is running around the town and is directing people as best she can. She is moving people around, like the ones that could potentially fight. She is getting them fighting fit. Everyone else she is moving into the back. You see the mayor wants to move forward and she's like pushing him back. He's like very nearly completely turned to cotton candy. She's like, listen, you won't be a help here. You're going to be in the way. And he begins to like wrangle people together who are too injured or too candified to be able to help. And they begin to move towards the back. Here in the center of town, you guys steel yourselves for a final showdown with Dulcinea. On the air, on the wind, you begin to smell that cinnamon coming your way. One thing that you know that Dulcinea doesn't is that Deer Hollow is ready. Deer Hollow is protected by four, or rather, now five princesses.
Hell yeah.
This episode was brought to you by the World Builders Club, a project of Working Families Power, an organization building power for the multiracial working class. The World Builders Club is your go-to dispatch for breaking down the political, cultural, and emotional architecture behind your favorite universes, from romantasy novels and TTRPGs to blockbuster franchises and indie gems. This isn't just pop culture analysis. It's a love letter to the art of creating worlds and the power those worlds have to shape our own. I'm a huge fan of post-apocalyptic world building, so I recommend starting with their piece, We Can't Stop Watching the World End, which talks about properties like GLaDLands, Fallout, and Silo, and what they have to say about humanity and our ability to imagine a world after the apocalypse. But any piece on World Builders Club is going to be a great read for those of us who love to imagine better worlds. So join the club and build a better world with them by subscribing at bit.ly/WBCManySided or by searching World Builders Club on Substack.
Pocket Bard is the immersive audio app that allows game masters to weave music, ambience, and sound effects seamlessly into their games with just the push of a button. It's intuitive, easy to use, and now Pocket Bard has gone from your pocket to your PC. That's right, Pocket Bard is now available on your phone and your desktop computer, making it even easier to bring in the perfect music right when the climactic battle begins. Now GMs who run everything from their PC have access to Pocket Bard alongside their other tools. It's the same bard on a bigger screen. Plus, Pocket Bard is releasing their new cozy lo-fi collection for free to celebrate the new desktop version. These scenes will add even more flair to the quiet, contemplative moments of your game, where your players sit around the campfire and make plans for their next adventure. Download Pocket Bard for your phone or your computer from the App Store or straight from pocketbard.app. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. They can make your perfect mini in a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options. They can even put your custom miniature inside a 20-sided die, so your character lives in every attack roll and every saving throw. And if you like to 3D print your own minis, Hero Forge offers downloadable model files so you can 3D print your unique designs at home. And Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options. New parts are added every single week, and major features like new species and custom posing are updated on a regular basis. So visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature today.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys have a beat. I'll let you guys know you have, this could act as a picnic if you want to use any of your heart dice to heal yourselves. This will not be a long rest, this is just a short rest. Is there anything you want to do in preparation before Dulcinea arrives?
Yeah, is it possible for Roxy to hand out baddie potions to all of the townspeople that are helping us to give them a buff?
And can she also give us health potions?
Or water bottles?
Oh, also that, but...
water balloons?
Roxy, I'm going to say, is going to be helping the town, mostly because she's been focused on this, on the curse thing. You see, Roxy runs out and sees her sister for this moment and goes,
that's right.
Celine, oh my God. And she runs forward towards her. As you see them embrace, you all of a sudden hear a small click. And as they separate from their embrace, you see around Celine's neck, the moon pendant that you had found. Around Roxy's neck, a sun pendant clicked together and hanging in the air between them.
Cute.
Love it.
Okay, while this is happening, I go and raid Roxy's potion.
Right. While this beautiful, sentimental moment is happening, we're going to go get geared up.
You guys allow these two sisters to have a moment. They have but a few moments, but they're going to treasure every one of them in case it is their last together. And you guys run off and raid Roxy's shelves.
Yeah, we're going to go loot all of her shit.
Amira, I want to trade our weapons back, if that's cool with you.
Sure.
You swap weapons back. Amira, you have a health potion with you. You see there is a wakey-wakey potion here.
Ooh.
And you see that there is a single vial of baddie potion that still exists in this place. Everything else has pretty much been dedicated to, like, candy curse stuff.
Okay.
So there's a wakey-wakey, an extra health potion.
Yeah.
And... what else?
And one baddie potion.
One baddie potion. All right, I take the baddie potion and give it to Adelaide.
I want to give it to the most useful townsperson or someone who could, like, help protect them while we're over here doing this just in case something happens.
Do you want to know?
You want me to give it to Rory?
No, we're not doing it, right?
I see that you want that.
No, we're not doing it.
I see you. I see
give it
in
to
your
Tony
brain.
Spagoosh.
Give it to Tony. Give it to Celine.
Listen. All these townspeople have never fought a dragon. There's only one townsperson here other than Selene who has faced down a witch.
You shit your mouth, Brad.
okay. So Adelaide, very cranky about it, goes up, goes to...
Oh, God.
Goes up to Rory. I guess we gotta protect everybody. So here is, I guess it would be, wouldn't be a, maybe like a bravey potion.
A bravey potion?
Yes.
Bad bunny potion.
Bad bunny
yeah,
potion.
That would help you. But now don't run into anything. And if you make us save you, then it's just a bad kid potion and we will come hit get you in death. But if yep. shit goes down and Dulcinea breaks containment, use this to help everybody else. But I swear to God.
You see, Rory looks at you. There's a moment where he's about to do like a I'm Rory the Brave type fist bump. Behind you, you see, you kind of catch a glimpse of Celine just kind of looking at him with a very adult stare. Not condescending, just a clear admission that, like, this is a moment to take seriously. And you see Rory recognize the moment. I think this is maybe the first time you've ever seen someone in such a single instance grow up just a little bit. He takes... the bravey potion, pops the cork and goes, I'm gonna keep everyone safe. I'm Rory the Protector now. And he downs the baddie potion and runs off to protect the rest of the town. As he is running off, you don't see him change physically. You don't see him get bigger. You don't see him get bulkier. You don't see his sword change to metal, but rather you see the long shadow cast behind him get a little bit more solid and a little bit more sturdy and just a little bit braver.
You're not going to make me like this NPC, Brian. I don't care how hard you get. You can keep working at it. I ain't doing it.
I will force a redemption arc.
Rory. He's so sad.
Rory runs off to protect the town and those that cannot protect themselves. I'm going to say just mechanically for what this is. If Rory wants to join the fray, that certainly can happen. For the moment, the townsfolk that can like not protect themselves, the like bystanders here, are going to, if they need to make any saves, are going to be rolling with advantage.
Oh, okay. That's hot.
Awesome. Okay, like great.
That
great,
works.
Okay.
We accept
Good
this.
Job,
this
Rory.
Fun. Good job, Rory.
Anything else anyone wants to do as you begin to hear on the distance the beating of leathery wings?
Amira looks at her sisters and is like, should we try using the unicorn potion as a last resort?
I think we gotta save that for Matt.
We can get another unicorn. That wasn't actually hard. Adelaide got the tear super easily, honestly.
Yeah, she did.
It's kind of crazy.
With close-up magic.
I'm telling you, the answer to all of life's problems is close-up magic.
I'm starting to right believe right? you. That seems right.
Close-up magic, honey.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gonna, if it's, I don't know.
Amira, we had her on her tail. She could have fled. She could have surrendered. She made a choice to come back here and slaughter hundreds of innocent people. I don't know if that's something that can be saved. But I'm willing to be wrong. And then I sneeze as like a big glob of like cinnamon molten something like sprays into a pint. Sorry.
When he sneezes, an entire house goes down in ashes.
Ah, shit.
I'm willing to be wrong. I just don't think I am.
Amira, you have in your hands that potion that contains the unicorn's tear, and Matt looks up at you, and no words need to be spoken here. You recognize that he's okay waiting if he needs to. But you have...
What did happen to the unicorn?
I realized that I forgot what happened to the unicorn. So
he fell into a plot hole.
The unicorn ran off.
He just sort of, he stayed.
Well, yeah, we went to sleep and then the unicorn
room.
Went out to
when
do
we woke
unicorn
up, he was
business.
Gone. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah.
And during
God,
our
we
long
have
rest.
Tied up the unicorn. Fuck.
I'm going to add a line in somewhere that says the unicorn left, but the unicorn left.
Yeah.
The unicorn fucked off.
Unicorn fucked off. Yep.
Amira, you have this potion in your hands, and you know that you can do with it what you will should the time come and the opportunity arise. I think the last question I want to ask you guys, as you hear the beat of leathery wings get louder and louder, and on the distance you begin to see the visage of Dulcinea, you stand ready at the front of this town to defend it. And right near the front of the town is the well.
Shit, we can beat her. Crap, we forgot that whole thing.
Yeah, we could break this curse before she gets here.
Let's break the curse before she gets here.
I don't know what it does to her, but I'm really excited to find out.
All right. Was there anything that we needed to say as we do this?
So, Brian, can I take flight and go and engage her just on the outside of town to buy them time to do this?
If you'd like, sure.
Or do you guys just want to bring her all the way in, or you want to take the risk that we don't get this done in time? I don't care.
We should engage her outside of the town, I feel like.
Just in case. Just in case.
Yeah, I like Dragon Bowl.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to go out and wait in the woods, and as soon as she passes overhead, I'm going to spray her, and then I'm going to engage her and try to keep her outside of the town while they break the curse inside. If they get past me, which is very possible, I don't have a lot of hit points, they'll have to deal with her on the back end.
I think as you're doing this, Amira is on top of Matt and goes, "I'm so sorry." And then grappling hooks onto you. And
oh my God. Okay.
Shit, I forgot to take back my grappling hook.
You have plus 15 HP now.
I knew I was forgetting something.
Okay.
Winnie, the level of curses that escape Matt's mouth, I, Brian, feel uncomfortable saying. We're a pretty blue podcast. I can't go to the depths that Matt expresses here.
Also, I did do the picnic thing, and I used the rest of my heart dice. I have full HP again.
Hell yeah.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, yes. Huge. So you're out of heart dice, but you have that HP.
Amira's still going to go down so fast.
So fast.
I am not going to let Amira fall again. She goes, we go.
She ties herself to the rope.
Hey, I still got two more traumas, so we're fine.
We're good.
We're cool.
We're good.
Amira, on the back yet again of a dragon, takes to the sky. And for the first time, Geraldine and Adelaide, you see Amira riding on top of a fucking dragon.
Yes!
You know, I always knew she had it in her.
Super glue Amira.
If you don't have a saddle, super glue your pants or something. Bridget, maybe you don't fall.
Yeah, super glue. Yeah, super glue.
Somebody has super glue.
Do that super glue.
Amira.
Superb glue. No, yeah. But I use it all in the last fight. There's no more superb glue.
I'll let you superb glue yourself. I'll let you find a little bit extra.
No, yeah. No. I don't need to superb glue myself. This feels like that could end poorly.
Bad idea. Yeah.
No. What could possibly go wrong?
No, no.
What could
possibly
go wrong? When Ryan's encouraging you to do it, it means you should do it. No.
Just do it. Just to see what happens.
Just do it.
You take to the sky, and as you do, even Matt stops his slew of curses for a moment to marvel at the sight of a princess riding a dragon. Geraldine and Adelaide, you have with you all of the items for this curse to be broken. You guys are all going to be acting before Dulcinea. You essentially have a surprise round here. As we move back into initiative, as this dragon begins to appear in the skies and you hear the villagers steel themselves in this quiet moment, this moment where you all look around and recognize the things that could be lost here.
Mm.
Though you can hear it on the distance, the beating of the wings, that's not the things that you hear. You hear rather the sounds of villagers preparing themselves. You hear the sound of wind blowing through familiar cobblestones and streets. You hear the quiet of this town, the thing that you are here to protect. A cackling on the wind. A cackling that does not know this village is protected. I'm going to open up with Winnie. As you see above you, a dragon fly overhead, a shadow cloud you. You burst up through the trees. Winnie and Amira, you're going to be first to act. What do you want to do?
Winnie, if you don't want to kill this dragon, we can find a way together. I'm here with you.
Oh, God, I love it. Okay.
Amira, roll a wits test for me. I'm going to say roll it with advantage.
Come on, baby.
My wits are terrible.
That's all right. Come on.
It's okay.
I rolled a 3.
Yes!
Hey! Yeah.
Amira, you look overhead. You're holding the cure to the curse that is on your beloved in your hand. And something in the unicorn's tear almost pulses out into your hand. And you see a moment of revelation through your eyes. Dulcinea is corrupted and evil. She was corrupted by these things that she was slowly consuming over time, just spreading and spreading until it consumed her. Her form right now, the benefit of the moment is that her form is completely corrupted. Should that form be destroyed, that soul will be released. You will have a moment to potentially change things. Normally, that would be impossible. But the magic of breaking a candy curse might just do it. Amira, in this moment, you recognize that were the circumstances not exactly as they are now, this would be a fool's errand. This would be folly. You could not save her. For this moment, for but a moment, you can.
Yeah, I don't know, Winnie. Something in my stomach tells me we can do this. We can save her, I think.
I'm going to tell you mechanically what you're going to need to do if you want to save Dulcinea and pull this evil witch from the corruption that has consumed her. You're going to have to take this dragon down to 0 hit points.
Okay.
You're going to have to get it to drink the unicorn tears, and you will have to break the curse.
Oh, baby.
Oh, we got this.
You got
this. You have all the elements? I leave it to you.
Yeah. Amira, like, just is, like, riding Winnie and's, like, Dulcinea sucks. 10 out of 10. I'm not a fan. And also, she is part of the people that we're supposed to help protect. And if we don't try everything, that just feels like everything that goes against everything that you've actually been doing, Winnie, that you've been teaching us. If there's a chance, we should try.
I think you feel a very intense reverberation, almost vibration, from beneath you as I am trying to regulate that. Probably the first time Amira's ever actually complimented me. Let me correct that. The first time Amira's ever actually seen me.
Oh.
And that's just something to reconcile that just physically manifests in the way that I tremble in the frustrated growl, and then you recognize that sigh where it's like, okay, so we're going to do something dumb and we're going to do it together as a family? Okay. Let's go. If we need to bring this dragon down to 0, I am going to launch with Amira at the head of this pack. I'm following Amira's lead on this one. And I'm going to breath the shit out of this dragon.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah, breath the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You want some bottled rage with that breath?
Oh! She's susceptible to melting. Let's get it hot and mad.
Hell yeah.
Amira, you uncork some rage. Feed it into Winnie. Winnie, you feel someone else's rage boil inside you. And you feel, honestly, a little bit of, you feel that rage boil up inside you, but feeling someone else's emotions is a strange moment because you recognize that Amira's rage is just a little bit different than yours, and it has that little bit of tenderness that is showing in this moment. You, as this shadow overtakes you, directly into the sky on the tails of Dulcinea. You fly up above her. She spins around. What? You come down over top of her. Your mouth opens wide. Cinnamon sugar rising like bile in your throat, coated with rage and tenderness of Amira. And
hell yeah.
Dulcinea's save is 16.
Maybe we can get it at a disadvantage?
Amira's rage and tenderness here, I will give it to you at disadvantage.
Hell yeah!
Ryan!
Woo!
That is a 19.
Yes!
Woo!
Winnie, you shoot into the sky. Amira, you're holding on tight to the scales of this dragon as all of a sudden Winnie stops flapping and free falls directly down in like a crazy Ivan's turn of a submarine. You spin down, letting gravity do the rest like a peregrine falcon. Dulcinea looks up, tries to move out of the way. Her wings, too shallow and too new, takes the brunt of all of it. 20 points of damage.
Woof.
Bursting Woof. Through all of her defenses.
Woof.
Even with the additional hit points she healed, Dulcinea drops to zero.
Hell yeah! Amira!
Let's fucking go!
Hot damn!
Danielle and Geraldine, you see this happen in front of you, this massive display of dragon ridership as a dragon is direct down, flames from above. Dulcinea goes unconscious and falls into the ground, skidding to a stop, earth parting all around her massive frame as she barrels directly towards the well itself and settles but a few feet from it.
I think now's our time.
Okay, let's go.
It's all together. Celine, will you do the honors with us?
I'd love to.
Geraldine.
Oh. And Geraldine's gonna drop the rat tail in first.
Celine will drop in the so-called periapt.
And I drop in the Earl King's ring into the well.
The ring of gold from the Earl King's hand. All around you, you hear it echoing out. For this curse breaking to succeed, three different items you will need. The tail of the King of the Pixies' land, a ring of gold from the Earl King's hand. The final thing, not least, but last, a treasure from the caster's past. Together dropped into the well, these items three will break the spell. You hear the shattering of a mirror. But time is short, so move your feet, or you will find revenge is. The last word is lost and faded into the wind. As you feel the magic of this forest and the magic of the curse begin to fade. Prophecy no longer needed because there is nothing to prophesize. The well, for a moment, looks as though it's going to boil or explode or do something magical and beautiful and massive, but instead the moment passes almost unnoticed. You see behind you a cheer is going up in the town, but you almost can't hear it because you're just hearing the ringing of success in your ears, the ringing of finally beating this thing. On the ground in front of you, as Winnie and Amira land down next to Dulcinea, you see this dark chocolate form of dragon beginning to fade and wither and turn to dust. And as it does beneath it, you see the frail and withered form of a witch. And Amira, as you walk over, you actually see something else. As the unicorn's tear kind of pulses through you, even through this glass bottle, you don't see a witch. She's old, and it's tough to see it, but Geraldine's old, and you can still see it. You see a princess.
Oh.
Amira, you have the bottle of the unicorn's tears. It's up to you.
Amira looks at Winnie, and then, like, kneels down next to Dulcinea and, like, holds her up and goes,
beautiful. And then pops open the bottle and says, this'll take the pain away.
You feed this liquid, this unicorn's tears slide down Dulcinea's throat, and you see her eyes, once cloudy now, go clear.
Oh goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
It is not okay, but we'll get there.
You see, she kind of reaches up, and Amira, she wraps, kind of like grabs onto you. You feel her hands, and her body is very frail and very withered and very cold. But you see the traces of this curse that have been slowly rotting her away, quickly dispersing. And as you do, you see her hand reaches up and kind of grabs under your shoulder, and around her wrist, something you hadn't noticed before. A very childlike friendship bracelet that you had seen sometime before on a fairy godmother who had once lost her child.
Oh my god.
Hey. It's gonna be okay. And I look at Winnie and I'm like, oh my fucking god.
Right.
In this moment, you recognize that Dulcinea is very old and very tired and is on the verge of death. Just from age. Not even from the battle here, but she's just, it's her time. But you recognize that the evil, the corruption that had cursed her for so many years, for so much of her life, evaporates. And you see a lot of emotions behind her eyes. You see the sorrow of time lost, and you see the sorrow of deeds done. But mostly you see a joy for getting this moment of clarity. Amira, behind you, you feel a hand on your shoulder as, for the first time, you don't hear a barrel roll as your fairy godmother arrives. You look over and see Flo just standing there, not on top of a barrel, just standing next to you. And next to her, Lady Nevis.
Oh, man.
Hey, Amira. We got this one from here.
Yeah. Here, Flo. Should hold her now.
Flo moves out of the way and allows Lady Nevis to come down. Lady Nevis gives her a deep hug. You see their bracelets both glow in this moment, and you see Lady Nevis reach down and whisper something into her ear. You see Dulcinea's face light up, big smile across it. What words were said don't matter. They're probably some moment or joke that you wouldn't have context for anyway. It was just two people truly connecting again. Dulcinea scooped up this very frail, very light woman in the arms of the very formerly cold Lady Nevis. You see a full smile on her face, the kind, not Winnie, the kind that you saw before, the small creak of a smile. This is her face splitting open in a grin, tears flowing down her face. Thank you. I did not know what I had lost. She looks and sees the dour faces and goes, don't worry. In the Fae court, time moves a little differently. She doesn't have much left, but we'll stretch it just a little bit so she can have a bit of a life again. Not an explosion, not a pop, not a bang, not a whiz, just a whisper. And the witch Dulcinea and her fairy godmother leave this place off to an adventure of their own. Not a long one, but an adventure doesn't need to last very long for it to be meaningful. There's that moment of quiet behind you. And then an explosion of cheers from the citizens of Deer Hollow.
Yeah! Yeah! We did it! We did it!
The villagers, it's very clear.
We did it, boy.
The villagers did nothing in this moment, but every one of them was ready and rearing to go. All
they
of
did
them
it, honey.
Putting
they
on their bravest
the
faces.
Troubles, okay?
They survived. They did it.
You see people who you've never seen before, people who had contributed nothing to this fight, people who were moments ago sugar and candy, are cheering.
Huzzah!
Winnie, you see the only person not cheering, but rather just taking it in stride, Rory the Protector. You see, Rory comes up to you and goes, "Hey, good job, dragon."
I think at this point, I just laid my head next to Amira because I know I'm going to phase out of this eventually. And I just wanted the proximity. And I think I'm going to look at the boy and just huff heavily out of my nostrils to blow him back. But it's affectionate.
He tumbles ass over tea kettle, but laughing all the while.
Hey, baby.
Celebrations all around you. People cheering and hooting and hullabalooing. Everyone is picking you up and lifting you onto their shoulders. People are smacking you on the backs. Tony Spagoosh is picking up Amira and cheering. As this scene begins to fade, as jubilation begins to ring out into the night, I want to turn it over to you to tell us what is our epilogue to this story.
I think in the, you know, with these celebrations and whatnot, I'm sure they go all night and it's, you know, a whole big thing or whatever. And I'd like to use the magic dance, which is my level 4 ability.
Let's nice. Go.
Which says you and your friends spend time passionately dancing and feasting under moonlight. Requires a large bonfire, fresh food, and tasty drinks. And then when you finally rest, your fairy godmother visits you in a dream and offers you a boon. And one of those boons can be that I can end a curse. And I'd like to turn Matt back into a man. If Amira... It seems a little confusing whether you kind of want him to be one or not. You're really into the horse stuff.
We've been trying not to make direct eye contact with it, but like...
Like it's, and I'm not going to yuck your yum anymore now that we've sort of seen everything in action, but it's just, if that's something you and Matt want, I'd love to give it to you.
Yeah, do it. Have
fun.
Nah,
I didn't like that pause.
No, this is great. I think this is really funny. Do it. You should do it.
With all the celebration and the bonfire, we party all night and we're doing these things. And then, yes, my fairy godmother comes to me in my dreams.
Flo arrives and goes, "Hey, kid. You guys did good."
Yeah, I think this is one of our best ones yet. I have a favor to ask you, though.
Yeah, hit me. You did the magic dance, you get a free boon.
Yeah, that's how it works. This one I want to use it for someone else, though. I've gotten all my boons through the years, and this one I'd like if you could fix our friend Matt back to what he was before, so he and Amira can be together and it not be weird.
She gets up really close and looks at you and goes, "Absolutely, kid. I'm more than happy to give you this great boon and return your friend Matt to however he was supposed to be. Real quick, who's Matt
Oh, it's the horse Amira's been sort of too close with.
The horse was a guy?
The horse is a guy.
The horse is a guy.
It's actually, do you remember, this was so long ago at this point, when I had a fling with the guy.
That Matt?
Yeah, that Matt.
Wow.
I know. Honestly, they make so much more sense than he and I ever did. It's crazy.
You see the cigar explodes on the end, and she goes, whoa. Now that's a spicy meatball.
Love it.
I'll be feasting on that one for a while.
Love it.
It's some good tea right there.
Yeah, that's the real gossip there.
As that cigar explodes, Amira, what do you see as we reach your epilogue and you see Matt turn back into a man?
Amira is fully like, you know, still hasn't gotten medical attention from getting crushed by the tower, but is fully like Celine and Amira are like pounding down spagooshes at Tony Spagoosh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fully just celebrating the night away.
Tony Spagoosh comes over and goes,
and listen, again, this is a one night reprieve, okay?
Just a one.
And listen, I'm happy Spagoosh. To let you and your friends in. The horse got to stay outside, okay?
All right. And then she like is like upset. She's like about to take one outside for Matt. And then turns and in walks a... Wow. In walks, she like kind of like is holding like two spagooshes and then looks up and then drops the mugs of spagooshes.
Yes.
Oh, spagooshes come in mugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We learn something new every day.
These do.
Spagooshes come in mugs. a 40-ounce mug. And she sees a older man. Like, how old is Geraldine? Like 70?
What did we say? She was like 73 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, Matt is like in his 50s. Because Amira is like in her 30s. 34. Mid-30s, late-30s, around there. Anyway.
What's age to us? What's age?
Who cares? Yeah. We're princesses.
It doesn't matter.
And so sees a handsome guy with a little coif hairstyle, a little beard that is like, well, like somehow, even in horse form, well-maintained. Like,
let's
like,
go.
Has a good barber that's doing the edges perfectly.
Lined up, moisturized.
Yeah, like a good, like a Toronto fade is what he has.
Toronto fade.
Okay. Yeah. And just wearing like a little, like a very cute little sweater vest, kind of like what Brian's wearing right now. a nice little shirt, some lovely little sensible pants.
Sensible.
With a very like a smile that says, "I am like I missed you so much, and I make a lot of dad jokes."
Yes.
And Amira runs up to him and just like hugs him deeply, and I'll leave it there. I won't put a hat on a hat.
Oh, I love it.
He takes your embrace as well, kind of picks you up, brings you over to the counter to get some more spagooshes, which apparently come in mugs.
40 ounce mugs.
I'm so sorry.
Classic, Brian.
Don't disrespect Tony like that.
And you celebrate the night. Your one night of reprieve from the Tony Spagoosh ban.
Okay, wait. I have one more thing that I want to try.
Yeah.
I know I mechanically can't use my level 4 ability, but can I pitch something, Brian?
Yeah, sure. What do you want to do? This is an epilogue. It could happen in the next days.
I want to use True Love's Kiss as like Amira's very drunk and sees Matt for the first time. And you can roll your 4 gift dice and bestow someone True Love's Kiss. The kiss can remove one trauma, awaken them from magical slumber, transfer them back from being a frog, or end a similar deadly curse, injury, or sickness. And so like in her drunken state, uses True Love's Kiss, kisses Matt, and like you see kind of like a big like light kind of erupt from this moment. Tony Spagoosh is like lit up. Everyone's like, what? Like full eyes on what's going on here. And as the light kind of fades back and like these like aura, like, you know, you hear like sounds of like birds singing, like it's super princess, like transformation vibes. You return and it's, you see Matt kind of there kissing someone. And then as the light fades, you see Amira has become a horse.
Oh. Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh God.
Damn it, that's what I should have done.
Oh God.
I just should have made them both horses. The horse.
And yeah. Amira's like, fuck.
God damn
no.
it.
Shit. There's season two right there.
It's just, I'm going to have to use my, we're going to have to do another bonfire. It's.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, I missed the memo.
Winnie hears, Winnie, we got to find a unicorn quick.
Ah, shit.
Love it. Nah, love it.
Cut to, like, they find a unicorn and turn Amira back to a human, so they're both humans again, but that's, like, you know, they have to go on a unicorn hunt.
Season two right there, guys. Hunt.
Gotta go on another adventure.
That's another adventure.
They have to go on a unicorn hunt.
That's an adventure that you and Matt can go down together.
Yeah, the side quest of Amira and Matt.
Danielle, why don't you tell me about Adelaide's epilogue to this story?
To start, Adelaide has a very long conversation with Flo about her participation on Draft Queens or like whatever it is, that gambling thing that she's been doing. Like that's gotta, you've already dropped the barrel. So your betting days are done. So whatever it is that you're like missing in your life that makes you want to do that, like that can be done now. We love you so much. We only say this because we love you.
But I just love the thrill of it. I love 100-year prop bet. There's no high like 100-year prop bet.
I mean, saving people's pretty cool. Climbing a mountain sounds like that would be really fun. We got to do something about your existential dread, is what I'm saying.
All right, listen, I've got an idea. I hear what you're saying, and I respect it, and you're probably right.
And I respect it.
Go with me on this. I recognize that this is kind of hypocritical. Bet me that I can't make a bet.
Oh my God.
For 100 years.
Ooh, I'll go you one better. I'll bet you can't make a bet for 1,000 years.
Oh God.
Oh hot damn.
Oh hot damn, honey. You're on.
you see, she goes to walk Lovely forward. Cold. She goes to walk forward just to, like, give you a high five, and she pedals backwards because she's used to being on a barrel and then falls over.
Sorry, I still get my land legs back.
Yeah. After that happens, Adelaide is going to go back to the tower. This like a few months in the future. Go back to the tower to go meet with the mint chocolate constructs. The tower at this point has been turned in to like a lovely like nightclub and dinner theater situation.
Hey.
Yes.
So Adelaide is booked for a night because she wants to also help them with talent because they've kind of been in there for a minute, so they probably probably don't like really know anybody. And so
it's an echo chamber.
It's a little bit of an echo chamber. So she brings in the Earl King.
Yes, honey.
Tempting him by saying, "You're so bored and everything is so boring. I think maybe you could just give this realm, like, give this place a rest. No more 24-hour parties. Take your show on the road.
Ooh,
and maybe you can also battle your existential dread by performing."
I love it.
This, Adelaide. This, baby.
I'll be honest, I haven't taken my show on the road in a long time. Sounds like it's time to get back on the road. Do a couple matinees, you know, for the out-of-town folks.
Do a world tour.
A world tour. Yes. The world tour.
You see, immediately appears on his body a world tour shirt with a bunch of different dates and locations listed.
Yeah, it does. For sure. Yes, for sure it does.
And I think after, you know, now that since it's only like a couple of days ride, she's got that set up. I think that she's also like, once that starts to get successful, she makes it into like a chain, like the, God, this is bad. Like hard candy rocks, just in like remembrance of the adventure. We just went to hard candy rock cafes.
No salad.
like builds one out in like Deer Hollow for people to like go and also perform. And that's she wants to stay close so she can stay like nearby her sisters in case shit pops off. Mm-hmm. But she is also like dedicating her life to finding ways, because apparently it seems like a lot of people are just fucking bored and holding on to shit in this town or in this world. So like if you're looking to like refind your love, Adelaide has decided to devote herself to teaching and encouraging the arts.
I love
that.
Love
and
it.
Yes, there will be a side room for close-up magic, and no, not everybody can get into that. It's some kind of a magic castle where like only a few people can only get in by invitation.
Very good.
That's awesome.
Except for the brunch shows on Saturday, where like you can kind of get in if you're out of town. It's a little bit easier,
right?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah. We still, yeah.
It's Saturday brunch, bottomless mimosas and talent.
We're like,
good.
We're calling Danielle for tickets, Adelaide for tickets.
Yeah.
Can we come? Are we allowed?
Only
to go?
Saturday brunch. It's not. I don't make the rules. Except for when I do.
You do. Make every one of the rules.
Oh, sorry.
You open up a number of chains of Hard Rock Candy cafes. I think including at some point one in Berrybrook, where the MC for a while is Chestnut.
Good.
Chestnut.
MC Chestnut. I love it.
There
MC Chestnut.
And as that celebration continues on in the coming months and years, Winnie, what is your epilogue for this story?
Right before the party starts and the celebrations really kick off, I'm sitting through some grief that I'm getting ready to switch out of this form. I've really enjoyed myself in this form. And I think Brownie and I are going back and forth quietly as the spagooshes are being poured and everyone's getting geared up and the bonfire is being erected. And I'm just pushing the dog with my nose. He comes back. He pounces on me. I push him again with his nose. And I'm almost counting back at 5, 4, 3, 2. And I don't switch back. I think Winnie's epilogue is her wild form becomes her true form.
Oh my God.
I think I'm going to stay in this dragon form and switch this level 4 ability out where I can use my gift dice to look human. I've been slowly moving more feral since this campaign started. And I think the final mirror that I needed to unlock this own curse within me was provided by Amira. I had gone so far and lost myself in the 11th hour until Amira held up a mirror to me. And now that I can truly see myself, absent smudge on the glass, I think I'm going to be embodying this form as a dragon. So I think for the next eternity, I spend my time moving from Berrybrook to Deer Hollow to the Everlost Lake to the Witch's Tower, and I'm just the dragon princess that guards this area.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
As you watch over the Tanglewood Forest, there was always a darkness in the Tanglewood that got only darker with the Candy Curse, and you see it get broken and that darkness subside back to once what it once was. But with the protection of a dragon, the Tanglewood is no longer a dark, scary place, and it no longer hides the dark and scary things. And people pass through it freely and happily and explore the wonderful woods that you guard with your mighty wings. The witch is defeated. The curse is broken. The day is won. And sometime not long from now, some intrepid sculptor will take all of your images and set them to stone in the center of Deer Hollow. And for a long time, people will dance around it and sing songs of your bravery, of the princesses who saved Deer Hollow. And sometime in the near future, the people of Deer Hollow may even decide to eat sweets again.
You never know.
Natural.
Give it time. Yeah, give it time.
Generations will maybe.
Eventually, years will pass, generations will pass, and your story will fade into legend, and then will fade altogether. But anyone who sees this statue of the four of you, or rather, the five of you, a noble horse and a very brave dog, will feel your heart inside of it. Your resolve, your grace, your wit, and above all, your friendship. But the four of you are far, far away from the realm of legend. You still have stories to tell and perils to conquer, and though you may not be ready for it yet, one day you're sure it will be said that you all lived happily ever after. And that is all for this season of My First Dungeon Perils and Princesses.
Oh!
Nice.
Hot damn.
Hot damn.
I cannot believe you turned into a dragon.
I can.
That it feels rocks. Like we were always headed there. It's just sort of how this was always going to go.
I told you affectionately I was going to make you regret that one somehow.
Thank you to everyone listening who has joined us. I hope you enjoyed this story. Fear not, though. We are going to be having one episode left where we're going to be talking Yay! With the creator of Perils and Princesses, Hell Ryan yeah. Lynch, mm-hmm. and the designer of Sweet Revenge, Destiny Howell. So join us
Let's
next
go.
Time for that.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get out of here, I want to just turn to you guys to give you guys a little outro to let people know where they can find you online if they're looking for you and any of the projects you got going on right now. Danielle, let me start with you. You want to let people know where they can find you online?
Oh, hi, hello. If you like wrestling, I talk about it once a week called Tights and Fights on Max Fun. So watch me wrestle yell. I'm not as polite on there as I am in literally any other place you've ever seen me. So it brings out the worst in me. Nice. If that sounds like something you would enjoy, go do that. I think that's it. Most of my major, because I'm not sure this is out in a couple weeks, so I'm not sure exactly what's out. I'm sure that my episode of I'm Actually is probably dropped by now, but I don't know because I am in the past. So just find me on Blueski and on Instagram and on Threads. It'll be the one with my name that looks like me, unless I'm trying to sell you a laptop I got from a school. That will be me. That's not me.
Then don't trust it.
Abby, you want to tell people where they can find you?
You can find me right here on Anytime Media, My First Dungeon, doing all of the fun stuff here. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter. Mini Sunday newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
Shannon, can you let people know where they can find you?
You can find me, obviously, here and on Instagram, TikTok. By the time this comes out, I think I'll be done with my spring stand-up tour, but I'll be going out again in the fall. So, supposed to be going to Toronto, New York, Atlanta, did I say Atlanta? Toronto, New York, Atlanta, Columbus, and a few more cities. So we'll see.
Let's go.
On the road.
Okay. Hey, you're going to Columbus?
Hey, I need the Columbus date, Chinook, really bad.
I'm sorting out with the producer at the moment, but it's potentially supposed to happen. So,
Oh my God, I hope it does. Make sure I get those dates, baby.
I will.
And last but not least, Bridget.
Yeah, hi. If you want to connect with me, the easiest way is just to go to symphonyentertainment.com. That will connect you over to my Twitch, my YouTube, my writing projects, my publications. If you want to hire me for sensitivity reading, proofreading, or any of that fun stuff, or if you're looking to self-publish on various platforms, I can also help you on that end. So just follow me at symphonyentertainment.com, and it'll connect you to one of my socials or somebody's Discord or something.
Hell yes. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I am Brian Flaherty. You can find me right here next season. And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Splash!
Splash! Princess!
Princesses! It's Amira's fault.
Princess
No,
splash.
Wait!
Dragon splash.
Dragon Splash.
Dragon Splash.
Dragon Splash.
Dragon Splash. So brave.
This season of My First Dungeon is sponsored by Tabletop Bookshelf. Tabletop Bookshelf is one of our favorite online game stores and offers a curated selection of indie tabletop RPGs and solo games delivered to you with care. Use code PERIL15 to get 15% off of Perils and Princesses, Sweet Revenge, or any other game at tabletopbookshelf.com. This episode features the voice talents of Brian Flaherty, Abby Hepworth, Bridget Jeffries, Danielle Radford, and Shenouk Tissara. Editing and sound design by Brian Flaherty. This episode features a theme song and some original music by Behold. Additional music and sound effects provided by Artlist.io. My First Dungeon is a Many-Sided Media production. And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.